flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It is 12:08. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. My name is Shaletta Brundage, and I'm the host of the show. Lindsey Brown, my producer, is at the historic WCCO Radio Center, getting our guests in and out on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. And Al Schock is in the newsroom, bringing you the latest on news, weather, and information to help you and your family have a better quality of life. Now, listen. Earlier this week, I started getting congratulatory text messages from all the smart people that I know, like John Hemley and Carrie Ream and Janine Rivet. They were all like, congratulations, Shaletta. Amazing. You are doing such great work. We are so proud of you. Now, y'all know I'm fabulous. So I had no idea which fabulous thing they were excited about. Because earlier this week, I surprised a business owner with a new van for Christmas after hers conked out on her and her GoFundMe only raised $165. I didn't know if they were talking about the kids because y'all know I got these three kids with autism. And my son, Daniel, who was my most severely autistic child, just tested off the spectrum and he's in normal developing classrooms. Right. So I was like, thank you. Thank you so much. Whatever it is, I'm, you know, and then finally somebody sent me a link and said, you made it to the New York Times. And I'm like, oh, what the hell are they talking about? And so I'm reading Frank Bruni's column. It's all about the best sentences of 2024. And even though I've only been a columnist at the Star Tribune since August of this year, your girl made the list. Mama, I finally made it. I was so excited. I started high-fiving everybody and calling the people back because now I knew what they were talking about. And then I realized I have no idea how this all came about. Who is Frank Bruni? What is this list all about? And now that I've done my research, his brand new book is on the way to the house and I've got to read it. So ladies and gentlemen, making his Shaletta Show debut all the way from I'm thinking NYC, but maybe not. Frank Bruni is on the phone lines. Mr. Bruni, thank you so much for being a part of the show.
It's my pleasure. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you and your family as well. Now, are you in New York City?
No. I live in North Carolina. I'm sitting in my house in Chapel Hill. I live in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. I teach at Duke next door in Durham.
Yes, that's what I thought you taught at Duke. Now, what do you teach at Duke?
Oh, I teach journalism-related classes, media-related classes, you know, some writing workshops. which is on point with our conversation right now, and also just some ideas, quizzes, you know, in the world of politics.
Okay, now you have to tell me, because you have rocked my world and gave me something exciting to share with my family and friends. My mama and daddy are here in town, and so I was able to tell them that I have been featured in the New York Times because you picked the best sentences of 2024. What's that all about? How did that come about? And how do you guys decide who's in it? Because I didn't nominate myself. I didn't ask anybody to call you. I had to go through 5011 channels to even find your email address.
I'm impressed. No, you found several of them. You are quite
I'm very resourceful. Yes, I'm very
you
resourceful.
You are. I'm impressed. I'm as impressed with your resourcefulness as with your prose. So the way this happened is I do a weekly newsletter for the Times. It's been going on for, I've lost track of time, something like 5 to 7 years, maybe even 8 years. And one of the features of the weekly newsletter is called For the Love of Sentences. And basically it welcomes any nominations from the world of journalism, not fiction, but, you know, actual, like, you know, kind of publications online and offline. And every week, you know, I have an inbox for it, and it's sort of crowdsourced. And people all around the country, you know, will read something they love, they'll see a sentence they love, and they'll email it to me. And the week that you wrote your sentence, which I don't have in front of me, but you had that hilarious comment about about Kamala Harris choosing a white male running mate and saying she will be Gladys Knight, he will be a pick. That's the sentence in question, right?
Yes, that is it.
Which is brilliant. So the week that you wrote that came out in the Minneapolis paper, you know, someone nominated that. One of the mini readers of the newsletter nominated that. And when I put together the nominations from that week and the ones I liked best, I included that. And if you kind of went back and searched, you could see we always, when the nomination is made and when it appears in the newsletter, we credit whoever turned it in. At the end of the year, this is the second year in a row, although the newsletter and the feature are older than 2 years, for the second year in a row, I went back through all of the weeks of the For the Love of Sentences sections. And from the stuff that readers had nominated and I'd chosen once, I thought, which of these hundreds and hundreds of sentences do I like best and do I want to put in the year-end compendium of the best? And yours was one, as soon as I reacquainted myself with it, I remembered how it made me smile and laugh. And so then I was just the one who decided to make it part of the year's best.
We are talking to Frank Bruni from the New York Times. He's got a weekly newsletter. He's a professor at Duke University. And I am just so honored. And, you know, I don't know if you know this because, you know, you just picking sentences, but I have a whole company over here, a production company, and the name of my company is ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com. And so every morning I wake up asking God to give me something to make somebody laugh, to put a smile on their face, to bring some joy. And so the fact that you read this column and it made you smile or made you laugh, and then as soon as you saw it again and it made you laugh again, I check, I've done my job for the day, Mr. Bruni.
But you did your job so well. I mean, when I read that, now listen, I don't know how old you are, but I'm old enough that the Gladys Knight and the Pips reference, you know, I immediately got it. I can still hear her singing Midnight Train to Georgia and stuff like that. but the idea of a running mate, of a vice presidential nominee as being a sort of backup singer to the candidate is also just so perfect. It's so perfect. And then just, you know, the phrase Pip is so funny. So I mean, I'd be curious if you could tell me how that came to your mind, because it was just so perfectly apt.
Well, Mr. Bruni, here's the funny part is I just started writing columns for the Star Tribune back in August. Now, I'm a journalist, 24 years in broadcast and television. And so I'm not new to this industry, but I'm new to writing columns. And as you know and are aware, that's a totally different animal than going out, talking to two people, finding both sides of the story, getting the facts and slapping it on the news. That's a whole different, this column thing is a whole different beast. And so, the way that I write is I just find inspiration from everyday life, from the things that are going on, and I try to make it local to Minnesota. And so I was at lunch with someone, I can't even remember who it is now, and everybody was so excited that Tim Walz might get picked, right? And this was a week before Kamala Harris made her decision. And, you know, all the folks were talking about it's going to be Josh Shapiro because she needs the delegates in Pennsylvania. And all these people who were weighing in on who she was going to pick were white men. And I was like, you know, nobody's ever asked a black woman what the black woman is thinking, because we know what she's going to do. We know who she's going to pick. And so I started breaking it down at lunch with this person. And I said, she's going to pick Tim Walz. And here's why. Because Tim Walz knows how to support black women. Tim Walz knows how to support women of color. And he understands and knows how to get in the background. And that's something that white men are not accustomed to. They're used to being out front and somebody fanning their flames. But he knows how to get behind the person in front and fan their flames. He's done it for me. He's done it for Peggy Flanagan and so many other women of color. And they were just like standing there with their mouths open. And I was like, listen, guys, let me break it down to you so you understand. She's going to be Gladys Knight. He's got to be a pimp. Bubba does not go up and grab the mic. Bubba does not stand in front of Gladys. They stand in the background. They ooh and ah. And Gladys is out front in the spotlight. They may get a little shine. They may not. But they are just happy to be in her presence. They are happy to see her sing. They're going to support her and back her up. And they're never, ever going to be up front. And they've got to be okay with that. And Gladys has got to know when she leaves that mic that Bubba's not going to try to take her spot, that he's not going to leak stories to the press, that he's not going to try to take her job. And he's got to be a pip, just like Bubba and the guys. And he's capable of doing that. And that's why she's going to pick him. And sure enough, a week later, she did. But, you know, I hadn't even planned on writing a story. But as I was talking, I heard the story developing in my mind. And so I called the Star Tribune and I was like, hey, whatever I got slated to run, don't put that out. Let me knock this thing out and then I'll send it to you. And then, you know, you guys can have it for, you know, for a column. And so as soon as I sent it, they were like, we're running this today.
Yeah. Well, you know, you did. That's a great story because you just did in real life. I mean, you just did exactly what I tell my writing students to do. I say, they get to a keyboard, they get all bunched up, they get all formal. And I say, the best conversations you have with the people you're having lunch with, the people you're having dinner with, the most spirited emails that you send, the language, the energy and the ideas in those, you need to transfer those over to what you actually write. And if I heard you correctly, you were kind of talking about this, you were conceptualizing in your head, you were saying this phrase to the people you were talking with, you, and you had the abundant good sense to say, wait a second, that should be shared with a wide body of readers. That should go in print.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm so non-traditional. You know, some people have their columns all planned out for the year. I don't know what I'm going to do from week to week when we're talking about writing and being authentic and you know, just finding a voice and a story and just inserting myself into the conversation. Because, you know, what we old school journalists, and I'm 52, have to understand is that the way these young people digest and get news is very different than what we did. It's got to be timely. It's got to be talking about something that's going on right now. Otherwise, they don't want to read it.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true.
Okay, so you are only supposed to be here for 10 minutes, but for anybody who is listening to my show right now, my regular readers who may not have heard of you before, and I know your time is tight, and I'm so grateful that you're here, and I just want to say thank you for putting me on your list. It is really amazing to me that, you know, something that I've only been doing since August has been featured in the New York Times as one of the best of the year. I'm grateful to you and to God for this opportunity. But I do want to talk about your book. Do you have just a couple more minutes to stick around? Because I want to make sure people know about this book that I just ordered that's on the way, and more about you and how they can sign up for your newsletter. Do you have a few more minutes?
Yes, sure. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. So we are going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we'll be talking to my new best friend, Frank Bruni, on Shillette Show.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
And that's what I'm doing in the Star Tribune, expressing myself with my column. And I tell you, I never knew that, man, I'm in awe that one of my column's sentences was selected for the best sentence of 2024 in the New York freaking Times by none other than my new best friend, Frank Bruni. And he is joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Mr. Bruni, can I just say thank you? Let me just say that I appreciate this. I have told the publisher of the Star Tribune, Steve Grove, that if I don't win Employee of the Month, it's going to be some furniture moving because my column has made it to the whole New York Times. It is in your newsletter. And it was just, I'm telling you, you have validated me to white folks. Because I'm going to tell you something, I have gotten more hate mail writing in the Star Tribune than I have ever gotten in my life because people don't want to hear my voice. They don't want to hear my opinion. They don't think I belong there because I am a Black woman. They want me to go and write for the Black newspaper. They think this is their paper and I shouldn't be in it. And so you have really validated me for white folks to let them know that I am a good writer and that I am exactly where I belong, right there at the Minnesota Star Tribune.
I'm delighted that that is the case. I'm not delighted you get hate mail at all, and I'm not delighted that you need to prove yourself in that fashion, but if I have been at all helpful, I'm really glad.
Well, I'm so grateful to be in the company of some of the country's greatest writers and that you thought that my column was worthy of your newsletter. And for folks who are not already signed up for the newsletter, you got to tell us how we can get it, because that's how everybody that I know, all the smartest people that I know, were texting and emailing and DMing me saying congratulations. And I had no idea what they were talking about.
Yeah, the newsletter has a lot of reach, a lot of readers. The way you get it is you have to be a New York Times subscriber, unfortunately. But if you're a Times subscriber, you just go to nytimes.com/Bruni, B-R-U-N-I, letter, and that takes you to the sign-up page. Or you can just go onto the Times' website, go to the newsletter offerings, and look for mine and sign up. And if you are a Times subscriber, you know, it just then comes to your inbox for free every week.
Okay, now, what's in the newsletter every week? Is it always politics? Is it pop culture? Do you do any sports? What can folks expect?
It's all of the above. The newsletter is a bunch. Newsletter is usually four or five sections. The first section is like a column. It's like an 800-word op-ed type piece. Most often about politics, sometimes about culture, sometimes about higher ed, occasionally about sports. And then it also always includes the feature that brought you and me together and made us new best friends, which is the second entry item of the newsletter every week is a roundup of great sentences written by journalists over the previous week. And then there's also a section where I kind of give movie and book recommendations very frequently. There's an update on my wondrous, amazing dog, and she has so many followers now that if I know it's hilarious. If I don't put her in the newsletter, like at least once every 4 weeks, I will look at the newsletter's inbox, and there will be scores of emails from people saying, "What's happened to her? What's going on? Is she okay? Give us an update." So yes, I am the latest writer to whore out his dog.
Yeah. And you know what? Let me tell you something. I get it. And people are going to be angry and upset with you. And I bet whenever you talk about the dog, you get more downloads and clicks because they're just using you to get to the dog, sir. I don't know if you know this. They don't care anything about you. Hey, just try to get to the dog.
Well, you know, that redeems my faith in people and in human intelligence, because you know what? She is better than I am. So if they're using me to get to the dog, I respect that.
Okay, now one of the things that we've got to talk about is this new book you got out, paperback edition coming out later this year. But right now, folks can pick up The Age of Grievance by Frank Bruni. They can get that at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, everywhere books are sold. And you've got to tell us about this book.
Well, you know, I'll be really brief because I, you mentioned a moment ago all of the hate mail you get. And a lot of that hate mail is based on, you know, the category you're being tucked into by other people and biases and that sort of thing. The Age of Grievance is basically about how much of our political discussion, which is a kind word for it, how much of what motivates us in the political and cultural spheres is driven by tribal rivalries, by this kind of assessment of the world in terms of who's getting more than you are or whom you believe is getting more than you are, who's to blame for that. And we are living in an era and in a country, and it's very dangerous. It's why our democracy feels so unstable, where the motivating factor for so many people is anger, or the word I choose for it in the book, grievance. And we have lost sight of the fights we need to fight, of the grand injustices that must be remedied, and the pettier slights and misfortunes that can't be solved by anyone else. We mix them all together today. It has turned our politics corrosive. It has turned our Congress. It has paralyzed our Congress. And I look at how we got to this point and how I think we might get out of it.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so folks can go to Amazon. They can go to Barnes & Noble. They can go to your website, frankbruni.com, to get more information about the book. Now, are you going to make your way to Minneapolis anytime soon, or do I need to come to Duke to talk to your students? Do you need me to come in there and talk to them to maybe do a little guest lecture or something? I would be more than happy to travel. I travel.
You're going to need to come here, I think. I don't know when I'm next back in Minneapolis. I've been there many times. I love that city. I wish my travels took me there more often, but I don't fit in the near future.
All right. Okay. So then I'm gonna have to get online, go to Delta.com and see if what's the best option for me to get a flight, so that I can come and hang out in Chapel Hill, because I've seen the campus on TV. I've never been there, but it looks beautiful.
It is. It is. It's a nice section of the country. You and I are both fortunate to live in very lovely places.
Yes, we are. And we are fortunate to make each other's acquaintances. Thank you again for including a portion of my Star Tribune column on your list of the best sentences of 2024 in your New York Times newsletter. Best-selling author, New York Times columnist Frank Bruni joining us on the Shaletta Show. You have a happy holiday, sir, and happy new year.
Same to you and to your listeners.
All right. You all stick around. There's more to come.